Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. Well, although Leopold may not be a name that just rolls off your tongue, kind of depends on how interested you are in conservation and nature and some of those things. But the reason I wanted to talk about him, first we probably should know more about him, but on August 20th, The Green Fire Story, a film about Aldo, will be shown at the barn on the Hitchcock House grounds at 9 p.m., and of course it is free. It is a compilation of photographs, correspondence, manuscripts, and lots of full-color footage of many of the locations where he lived and worked, and it is a way to find out more about Aldo's thinking. And his work was as a scientist and ecologist and forester and environmentalist, was influential in the development of modern environmental ethics and in the movement for wilderness conservation, and also many of the conservation practices that are done today. Well, the film, the title, The Green Fire Story, you know, when you start thinking about the environment and forests and so on, you're thinking, well, that has to do with the colors of green in the land and the forest. But the actual title comes from The Eyes of a Wolf. Now, his job, and we'll talk more about that in a little bit, included killing lots of wild animals. And he says, this is from his book, A Sand County Almanac, he said, and then after he'd shot the wolf, "We reached the old wolf in time to watch a fierce green fire die in her eyes. I realized then, and have known ever since, that there was something new to me in those eyes, something known only to her and to the mountain. I was young then and full of trigger itch. I thought that because fewer wolves meant more deer, that no wolves would mean hunter's paradise. But after seeing the green fire die, I sensed that neither the wolf nor the mountain agreed with such a view." And this was after he'd done lots of study, after he had experienced lots of nature, that he began to really change his mind about how things should be done. Well, when he was a child, he started right out practically being very interested in nature. It's said that, first of all, the father, Carl, would take all of his kids out to excursions in the woods and taught him about woodcraft and hunting and lots of things. But Aldo showed an aptitude for observation, and he would spend hours counting and cataloging birds near his home. His sister says he was very much an outdoorsman, even in his extreme youth. He was always out climbing around the bluffs or going down to the river or going across the river into the woods. And he continued that love for nature and that work throughout his life. When it was time to think about beyond high school, one of the things that happened, and this was in 1900, money was given to Yale University that began one of the nation's first forestry schools. Well, when Aldo heard about this, he said forestry was what he wanted to do. This was going to be his career, and so was admitted to Yale Forestry School. One of his problems when he was at school was that sometimes he would rather spend time outdoors and in the woods than he would studying. But, of course, he made it through Yale and started his career in 1909 as the Forest Service's District 3 in Arizona and New Mexico territories. Now, when you think about forestry, probably Arizona and New Mexico are not at the top of your list, but there are those areas at that time, only territories, not yet states. He was the first forest assistant in the Apache National Forest in the Arizona Territory. And then he went to New Mexico, and he was included in the first comprehensive management plan for the Grand Canyon, writing the Forest Service's first game and fish handbook, and proposing the Gila Wilderness Area, the first national wilderness area in the Forest System Service. Then he moved on in 1924 to the U.S. Forest Products Laboratory in Madison, Wisconsin, and then he became the professor of game management in the Agriculture Economics Department of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And by the way, I forgot to mention, you know, as he's moving to Wisconsin, he's getting closer to our territory. He actually was born in Burlington, Iowa. And his mother was a businessman, and his mother, of course, encouraged him in all the work that he did. Well, when he was working in the New Mexico area, he purchased 80 acres of land in Wisconsin, and it was in sand country in Wisconsin. See, that's why I was going to say New Mexico, because I don't think of sand country and Wisconsin being together. But this had been a once forested region, but had been completely logged, and it was overgrazed and left very barren. So he began to put his theories to work in the field and eventually wrote his best-selling A Sand County Almanac, the name of his book, and it has sold over 2 million copies, still in print, and of course still being widely read by folks who are interested in the beginnings of conservation and wilderness. As I said early on, in his career, he was assigned to hunt and kill bears, wolves, and mountain lions in New Mexico because local ranchers hated these predators because of their livestock losses. Makes sense, right? However, Leopold came to respect the animals, and he developed an ecological ethic that replaced the earlier wilderness ethic that stressed the need for human dominance. Rethinking the importance of predators in the balance of nature resulted in that practice of returning bears and mountain lions to the wilderness areas, and we know that still is carried on today. In his writing about land, and so this goes more directly to our conservation practices, he says, and again these are quotes from him, "This sounds simple. That means the land ethic enlarges the boundaries of the community to include soils, waters, plants, and animals, or collectively the land. It's not just soil conservation as such, but the land." And he says, "This sounds simple. Do we not already sing our love for an obligation to the land of the free and the home of the brave? Yes, but just what and whom do we love? Certainly not the soil, which you're sending helter-skelter down the river." That sounds familiar, doesn't it? And, continuing his words, "Certainly not the waters, which we assume have no function except to turn turbines, float barges, and carry off sewage. Certainly not the plants, of which we exterminate whole communities without batting an eye. Certainly not the animals, of which we have already extirpated many of the largest and most beautiful species. A land ethic, of course, cannot prevent the alteration, management, and use of these resources, but it does affirm their right to continued existence, and at least in spots, their continued existence in a natural state. In short, a land ethic changes the role of Homo sapiens from conqueror of the land to plain member and citizen of it. It implies respect for his fellow members and also respect for the community as such." Well, as you can guess, along the way, his theories, his ethics on were not easily accepted by everyone, but he laid the groundwork for much of the ongoing conservation and wilderness work currently going on. And I wanted to, because of this carrying on, there have been many foundations and other kinds of work named after him and carrying on his work. And one of those is the Leopold Center at Iowa State University. So we have one example of continuing Aldo Leopold's work right here in Iowa. There may be others, but this is one that should be a little more familiar. The purpose of the Leopold Center at Iowa State University is to conduct research into the negative impacts of agricultural practices, to assist in developing alternative practices, and to inform the public of the Leopold Center findings. It is supported by a portion of the state fees assessed on nitrogen fertilizer and pesticide registrations, and an annual education appropriation supports many of the center's competitive grants, and the center also receives foundation grants and federal funds for specific projects. Of course, that's one of the jobs of the leadership of the Leopold Center, is always trying to find funding to carry on this important work. As part of its longstanding competitive grants program, the Leopold Center makes funds available to researchers and educators at all Iowa colleges and universities and to other folks. And one of those folks, or several of those folks, are right here in Cass County. Emily Kringle and I are a part of a Leopold grant that is currently trying to find out what families think about locally grown food, where they can get it, how much they'd like to spend on it, are they interested in the differences of locally grown food, how that impacts the local food system. And so it's kind of interesting to me how all of this ties together, from Aldo Leopold to the Leopold Center to Cass County, Iowa. And again, if you would like to know more about Aldo Leopold and his theories and how that all developed, you can see the free movie, The Green Fire Story, at The Barn and the Hitchcock, near the Hitchcock House, on August 20th, beginning at 9 p.m. So here is another thought from Aldo Leopold. Nothing so important as an ethic is ever written. It involves in the minds of the thinking community.